could well imagine why she wouldn't want to risk provoking his anger again, even though Xander knew damn well Drake would be anything but pissed.
"Xander, please," she begged. "This is embarrassing enough without involving Drake."
His expression softened, and then he shook his head before picking his phone up. To Evangeline's dismay, he seemed to have not been moved by her entreaty.
"Yeah, Xander here. I need you to come get me and Evangeline and have Drake's doctor on standby. I'm taking her to get checked out."
There was a long pause.
"No, she doesn't want Drake to know. She just took a fall. Her knee hurts, but I can't exactly examine it in the middle of a fucking public sidewalk. Just get here."
After Xander gave whoever he was talking to his and Evangeline's location, Xander ended the call and then gathered the bags he'd dropped when Evangeline fell. Then he curled his huge tattooed arm around her waist. "Lean on me and try not to put too much weight on your hurt leg," he said. "We need to get somewhere you don't get knocked over by some asshole pedestrian in a hurry. Preferably somewhere you can sit so you aren't putting any strain on that knee." He all but carried her and the bags a short distance away under the awning of a restaurant and settled her into a bench intended for waiting customers. When the woman manning the door would have protested them sitting, Xander sent her a ferocious glare that promptly had her shutting her mouth and retreating hastily to her post.
"Who did you call?" Evangeline asked.
"Justice. He's not far or he would have called someone who was closer than he was to come get you."
"Is a visit to the doctor really necessary?" Evangeline asked with a frown. "We should just go home. I can doctor it myself. It's not serious. It doesn't even hurt that much anymore."
"We are going home," Xander said calmly. "Drake's personal physician has a clinic on the second level of Drake's building. He has a practice, but his primary job is to see to Drake and Drake's employees' needs. And believe me, we're a full-time job," he added with a grin.
But Evangeline didn't return his smile. Her brow furrowed in thought over what Xander had told her. Drake required a personal physician? As in one who looked after the needs of him and his men? Were their jobs that dangerous? For that matter, she had yet to figure out precisely what Drake and his men did for a living. Surely owning a nightclub didn't command the kind of wealth Drake and his men possessed, and certainly wouldn't be the cause to have a personal doctor patch someone up on a regular basis. She felt faintly ill, wondering just what she had gotten herself into, and if she was already in way over her head.
"How bad are you hurting?" Xander asked bluntly.
She looked up at him, squinting when her gaze met the sun beyond Xander's broad shoulders. He frowned and dug out the other pair of sunglasses and promptly perched them atop Evangeline's nose.
"It just stings a bit. You're completely overreacting," she muttered. "One would think I got shot."
Xander wasn't amused, and it was the fact that his expression became as grim as it did that made her wonder if being shot was a possibility. Was her coming to harm why Drake was so overzealous when it came to her having protection any time she left the apartment? If she thought for a minute she'd actually get an answer, she'd ask Xander just that question, but she knew he'd bite off his tongue before ever telling her anything. So she sighed and resigned herself to a visit to the doctor. She was surprised when only 5 minutes later, a sleek car she didn't recognize the insignia for pulled up. And to her further surprise, not only did Justice step from the car, but so did Silas. And it would appear Silas's presence came as a surprise to Xander as well, judging by his reaction. Justice shrugged as they neared where Evangeline still sat on the bench.
"Silas was with me when he heard what went down, and said he was coming."
Unspoken was that no one ever likely refused Silas anything.
"I just hope to hell he doesn't scare the shit out of her," Xander muttered so only Justice could hear.
Evangeline immediately bristled and shot upward, wincing as her knee protested the sudden and unexpected movement. She pointed her finger at Xander.
"To date, You are the only one who has frightened me, not to mention how rude you were. And you dare to suggest that a man who has impeccable manners and who made considerable effort to ease my embarrassment after I dumped a cupcake all over his pants, which was your fault, by the way, would somehow frighten me? Quite frankly, I'm better off with him.
Silas stood staring at Evangeline as though she were an alien, surprise written clearly on his features. And then he simply walked to where she was shakily standing and put one arm around her.
How much does it pain you? He asked quietly.
Enough, Evangeline muttered. I just want to go home. It's not that bad, and it certainly doesn't warrant a visit to Drake's doctor, who also conveniently has a practice in Drake's building. Hell, Drake probably owns the entire building.
He does, Silas said in his somber voice. Evangeline closed her eyes. She shouldn't have gone there. It was her own fault for opening herself up for that.
Silas squeezed her, giving her silent reassurance. She wasn't so sure why the others seemed to have a healthy fear of and respect for this man. Well, the respect he had no doubt earned, and it was owed. But the fear she didn't understand, nor did she understand why they would think she would be afraid of him, when he'd been nothing but gentle, kind, and compassionate with her. And because she was thinking those things, and because whatever she thought always seemed to make its way out of her mouth, she put it out there before she could think better of it.
Would you go with me to the doctor? She whispered, so the others wouldn't hear. Xander seems to think you frighten me, but truthfully, he scares me more than any of the others, and I would feel more comfortable if I must go see this doctor, if you were with me instead of him.
Silas went completely rigid, and she realized she'd just made a huge mistake. Damn her and her propensity for saying what was on her mind. She needed a gag stuffed into her mouth on a permanent basis.
I'm sorry, she said sincerely. I've already interrupted your day with what is not anything remotely resembling a serious accident. I really should just go back to Drake's apartment and clean it up. Band-aids are miracle cures, you know.
It would make me very unhappy to ever know that a woman like you ever feared me, Silas said, as sincerely as she had spoken. The fact that you don't fear me, and in fact defend me to the others, raises you in my esteem considerably. If having me with you makes you more comfortable, then I'll go. No further explanations are warranted or necessary. Now, I'm going to help you get to the car. Xander can get back to the apartment with your bags on his own dime, while Justice and I take you to the clinic.
You aren't a bad person, Silas, she whispered. In fact, I think you are a perfect gentleman. You'll never persuade me otherwise.
A shadow fell over his eyes before he blinked it away, but in that shadow she saw past pain, memories, things that had shaped the man he was now. And then, just because it seemed like the right thing to do, she hugged him, trapping his much larger frame against her smaller one, and squeezed hard.
Thank you for coming so quickly. I'd rather Drake not know about this, but if we don't get moving, the dinner I'm supposed to prepare won't get done on time, and I don't want Drake to be even more unhappy with me than he already is.
Silas frowned. I'm sure he will be more than understanding if you don't cook dinner at all, considering you injured your knee and who knows what else in your fall. Evangeline shook her head.
I don't even want him to know about this, any of it. The day already started all wrong, and this will just ruin the entire evening. Can we just go and get it over with?
In response, Silas merely picked her up, cradling her in his arms, and then ducked into the back seat of the car. Once he was settled, with her still on his lap, he put a pillow beneath the knee she'd injured and urged her to relax, saying there were only a few minutes from Drake's apartment. Evangeline sighed. Welcome to Drake's world should read more like, welcome to Drake's insane world where nothing makes sense.
because there was nothing normal about being sprawled on the lap of a man who obviously inspired fear in others, while being rushed to a private clinic, owned by Drake, an enormously wealthy and extremely secretive, mysterious man, who now, according to him, and well acknowledged by her, owned her. Crazy. It was the only word to describe her previously boring, uneventful, predictably dull existence. Things like this just didn't happen to ordinary girls from small towns like the one she grew up in. Only it was happening, and it was all too real for her comfort level. 21. To Dr. McGinnis's credit, he seemed to pick up on Evangeline's distress and agitation, though her constant muttering of this not being necessary probably clued him in more than anything. He gave her a reassuring smile and told her he would have her in and out in no time at all and not to worry. But when he'd said she really needed a few sutures because the cut was quite deep and she risked infection if it was left open to bacteria, germs, and God only knew what else, her anxiety soared. It was Silas who calmed her down and said matter-of-factly that she was holding up the process, that if she were to simply relax and allow the doctor to do what he felt was necessary, and he was the doctor after all, she could have already been finished and back to Drake's apartment. She reached for his hand, more for her comfort than anything else, but she offered a grateful squeeze, wondering why she seemed to be the only one to see past this man's rigid exterior to the kind and gentle man underneath the outward facade. It was one likely perfected out of necessity. She sensed that about all of Drake's men, that perhaps none of them had come from the best backgrounds, and that they'd all likely scratched and clawed their way to success, earning every bit of the money and respect they commanded. They were certainly an odd group, ranging from the polish of Drake and the smooth words he always seemed to possess, to the more crudely built and street-smart men like Xander and, well, Justice, just in a different way. Silas was a mysterious combination of Drake's polish and expensive manner of dress, but with the edge Xander and some of the others possessed. But the one trait they all had in common was their don't-give-a-fuck-what-others-think attitude. She had no doubt that while Silas had been nothing but patient and kind to her, he wasn't that way with many other people. She'd seen the hint of coldness in his eyes. And pain. Though she doubted he realized she'd picked up on it, and would not be pleased to know she had. But she was a people watcher. For girls like her, watching was as close to the lifestyles of others as she got. And she enjoyed a certain vicariousness of experiencing their worlds through watching them. As a result, she often saw far more than the average person looking on. She studied people, watched when they were unaware of being observed. It was at these times that most people allowed what they hid on a regular basis to slip and be more readily revealed. It was presumptuous of her to think she knew anything about Silas or his past or his raison d'etre. But she sensed an inner torment that went as far back as his childhood. And weren't most people shaped by their childhood? Their family, or lack thereof? Defenses learned early, and the ability to shut others out and erect shields in order to survive. She considered herself to be the person she was because of her upbringing, her parents' unconditional love and support, and their constant guidance. Their convictions that they'd passed on to Evangeline. Her parents were good people. The best. She was one of the lucky ones. Unlike Silas, and she imagined, the majority of Drake's men. If not Drake himself. He was an aloof man who hid a passionate fire inside him. He felt strongly about what he considered his own personal code. She didn't need a primer to know that. One only had to look at the man to figure out his past had more than likely shaped the man he'd become today. A man she was hopelessly attracted to and helpless to resist, even when her mind, or rather sanity, questioned her motives and her decisions, and quite frequently demanded to know if she'd lost her ever-loving mind to have plunged so recklessly, without forethought or careful consideration, into such an extreme relationship with a man she barely knew. And yet, even as she knew, she had a long way to go before she would even scratch the surface of this complicated, mysterious man. She felt an eagerness and, yes, a sense of challenge to peel back layer after layer until she reached the heart of him. Only then would she fully understand what made Drake the unyielding, uncompromising, and very dominant alpha male he was. None of which she considered bad traits. Not when they expressed themselves in such delicious ways. Well, except she'd pissed him off and blatantly disobeyed him this morning, and he hadn't sounded pleased with her at all. She sucked in her bottom lip, nibbling nervously as she considered the consequences of her actions and what Drake's response would be when he arrived home. While her cooking might distract the best of them, she doubted Drake would be deterred if he planned to address the issue of her disobedience, something he'd said he wouldn't tolerate under any circumstances. And looking back, she knew that he was right, and she'd been acting like a petulant, tantrum-throwing child out to prove a point by sulkily making the choice she had. She knew the rules, knew them by heart. And Drake had been correct. All she had to do was pick up the phone and call him, tell him her wishes, and he more than likely would have been fine with it. Remembering something he'd written in his note just made her feel even guiltier. He'd told her to stay in and rest, and to have his man take her shopping list out to get what she needed. His exact words had been, "I was hard on my angel last night." She sighed. He'd merely been taking care of her, and it had been sweet. And she'd been a complete bitch, taking it the wrong way and bristling over the ridiculous fact that she couldn't even run to the market without a major security operation being launched. She owed Drake an apology. A sincere one, and not something designed to tell him what she thought he wanted to hear in order to placate him. "Evangeline?" Silas's worried tone cut into her silent reverie. "Are you hurting? He's numbed the area, so you shouldn't feel anything when he sets the sutures. But if you do, you are to let us know immediately." The doctor looked up from where he was preparing to stitch her knee up, concern in his eyes. "I can give you a shot for the pain. I plan to give you a shot of antibiotics and give you an ointment to apply 3 times a day. I don't think an oral antibiotic is warranted in this case. However, if you notice any redness, tenderness, or swelling in the area, and especially if you feel unwell and are running even a slight temperature, I want you back here immediately so we can put you on antibiotics." She offered a reassuring smile.
"I'm fine, truly. I don't feel anything at all. I don't need pain medication. I'm sure some ibuprofen will more than suffice if it hurts later. I was too busy thinking of all the mistakes I've made today to even register any discomfort in my knee. It kind of sucks when you realize you've been a sulky child, finding any ridiculous reason to be pissy."
She said the last with a sigh, and her lips turned down into a frown. Silas's frown was more of a scowl, surprising her, because for the first time, there was none of the gentleness she'd come to associate him with.
"Admittedly, my acquaintance with you has been short, and we've not spent much time together, something I hope will be remedied when Drake loosens the leash he currently has you on." Brief amusement replaced the scowl in his eyes, letting her know he was teasing her with the last of his words. "But the very last thing I would ever attribute to you is sulkiness or childishness. You are exceedingly honest and sincere, two qualities that have fallen by the wayside in society, unfortunately. Furthermore, you are completely unaware of the many good qualities you possess, and seem baffled when someone pays you a compliment, as you are doing right now as I speak, judging by the look in your eyes." She flushed because she was precisely that.
"No one has ever given me compliments until recently," she murmured.
Then you clearly don't associate with the right people. And I'm willing to bet either the people you are exposed to are envious, or if they are men, they want very much to get a hell of a lot closer to you, and you likely have no clue of that either, which angers them, and is a blow to their fragile male ego.
Okay, you have to stop, she said, becoming more uncomfortable by the minute.
But he didn't. He reached out with one finger and lifted her chin, so she was forced to look at him and no longer avoid his gaze. What you are, Evangeline, is special. And if you ever disparage yourself in my hearing again, I'll turn you over my knee myself and spank that perfect ass until you promise me to forget all the negative words you have in your vocabulary when they come to describing yourself. Are we understood?
Holy fuck. Oh, shit. Now she was once more using words that would mortify her mother and cause her to wonder where she'd gone wrong in Evangeline's upbringing, since she'd been taught that no true lady ever used such vulgar language. Her eyes were wide as she stared at Silas, no longer needing his hand to force her compliance. She saw the dominance glittering in his eyes as clearly as she saw it in Drake's. How had she missed it before now? Gentle and kind, my ass. Silas, Drake, and, well, all of Drake's men, were dominant, almost surly, alpha males. But in the space of those few words Silas had so smoothly dropped on her, she saw a man who was likely far more dominant than the others. Perhaps even Drake, and that was incomprehensible to her. She could now see the scary side that the others evidently saw and experienced on a daily basis, and here she was naively forming her assumptions based on two brief meetings when he'd acted the consummate gentleman. She swallowed hard, because she didn't think Silas was bluffing. There was no hint of amusement in his eyes, only somber truth and utter seriousness. And then, since her brain was fried, and she was to the point of babbling, she issued a ridiculous response.
"Drake would never let you," she said in a shocked whisper.
And to her further mortification, she realized the doctor was still there, stitching up her now forgotten knee, and he'd been privy to the entire exchange between them. His lips quirked in amusement, even as he never took his eyes from his job, and his hands were as steady as she'd ever seen. Silas sent her a slight grin, only one corner of his mouth twitching to indicate what he thought of her naive statement.
"Don't be so sure of what Drake will and won't allow, Evangeline. To do so will only lead to inevitable misunderstanding. I'm sure Drake has been very exacting in his requirements of you, the foremost being obedience. I'd say that covers a lot of uncharted territory. Wouldn't you?"
Evangeline wanted to shriek. How the hell did Drake's men, this man, know so much about what Drake had or hadn't told her? Or were his women and his standards and expectations so often rotated in and out that his needs and demands were common knowledge among his men? Hell, did they run, own, or belong to some kind of BDSM club? Did they all have memberships in some place where there were handbooks and rules for this kind of stuff? And did they all adhere to the same code? She wanted to pull her hair out and then cover her face and wish herself a million miles away, because this was becoming more disconcerting by the minute.
"You wouldn't hurt me," she said in near desperation.
Silas's eyes softened. "No, Evangeline. I would never hurt you. Discipline doesn't have to equal pain. Unless that's your thing." He shrugged. "People are into what pleases them. It's not for me to judge. But if you're asking if I will follow through with my threat, the answer is yes. I don't make idle threats. Ever. So yes, I will turn you over my knee and spank that ass if you ever talk shit about yourself in my hearing. If you don't want that to happen, the simple thing to do is not to say stupid shit, yeah? You got me?"
"I got you,"
she choked out. Because if he was anything like Drake, and it appeared he was, then he too would want the words, and not shaking or nodding her head as an answer.
"You done?" Silas asked the doctor sharply.
The doctor looked to have already finished, but was clearly immersed in Silas's exchange with Evangeline, because he was simply holding a bandage over Evangeline's knee while watching the two in fascination.
Yeah, sure. Just let me tape this over her knee.
Then he looked only at Evangeline.
Keep it covered for tonight. You can take the dressing off in the morning, but keep the area clean and apply the ointment as I instructed, and again, if you experience any of the problems or symptoms I listed, you ought to come back to me immediately.
Evangeline nodded, still discomforted by the much too public airing of far too personal information. Did everyone who worked for Drake know every sordid detail of their relationship? Or were they merely guessing based on his past relationships? It hit a raw nerve to think that her relationship, or whatever this was between her and Drake, was following some guideline or schedule he performed by rote, regardless of who his current woman was. Would any woman do for him? Did Evangeline's face blur among the many who'd come before her? Did she stand out? She supposed she was lucky that he at least remembered her name and hadn't called her by another woman's name. She'd likely stab him with a kitchen knife if that ever happened. Silas helped her from the exam table, and then herded her from the clinic and into the elevator that would take them to the top floor. He inserted his own key card, further proof that Drake's men were obviously trusted, and had full access to even his personal domains. When they walked into the apartment, she saw that the groceries had been placed on the counter, and when she would have hurried over to sort through them, Silas blocked her and instead pushed her into the living room and then promptly sat her on the couch, reaching for a pillow to prop beneath her leg.
"You stay put," Silas ordered. "I know for a fact Drake said he would be late arriving, and I also know he'll call to let you know when he's on his way home. Therefore, until the time you receive that call, you are to relax and not further aggravate your injury. Drake will understand if dinner is a little late, given the circumstances."
Evangeline bit her lip, refusing to remind Silas that Drake had no clue about her injury. Unless she'd already been ratted out by one of his men. A distinct possibility. But when Drake finally did call, she realized that, no, he didn't know. And furthermore, he was still not happy about this morning's transgression.
22.
The phone rang, rousing Evangeline from the couch.
Damn it! How could she have fallen asleep? She'd planned that as soon as Silas made his departure, she was going to get a start on dinner, regardless of his assertion that she was to rest until Drake called. She scrambled for the phone, at least glad Silas had put it within reach. She nearly groaned when she swung her legs over the end of the couch so she could get up and head for the kitchen as she talked to Drake. "Hello?" she asked breathlessly.
"I'll be home in 20 minutes, he said shortly.
"Oh, okay,"
she said, gripping the phone tighter. Even as she talked, she was digging into the bags and searching for the right skillets and warming the grill on the professional-grade stove.
"Dinner will hold for a few minutes, I take it," he said.
"Yes, of course," she said hastily. "I can have it ready whenever you're ready to eat."
"Good. Then what I want you to do is go into the living room and undress. When I arrive, I want you standing at the end of the couch, your belly leaned against the arm, legs slightly apart. And then when I tell you, you are to lean forward and put your hands down on the couch so that you are bent over the arm."
She hesitated, a puzzled look creasing her forehead.
"Okay,"
she said quietly.
"Your punishment, Angel," he said, evidently picking up on her confusion. "Don't think I've forgotten about this morning."
She nearly dropped the phone, but managed to get a grip before it smashed onto the floor.
"Be sure you're ready and that you've heeded my every instruction, or I won't be pleased," he said in a silky voice.
I won't disappoint you, Drake, she said in a low tone. He hesitated this time, and then he said,
I know, Angel. That I know. And then he hung up, leaving her to stare at the phone.
She closed her eyes, refusing to focus on the fact that he was going to punish her. She had to get a start on dinner, so he wouldn't think she hadn't already done so. The whole day had been nothing but an epic clusterfuck. She thought briefly about heeding Silas's advice and telling Drake of all that had occurred the minute Drake came through the door, but then she frowned. What a coward she was being. At the very first opportunity, she was trying to get out of trouble when it was her own damn fault. No, she'd get dinner well on its way to being prepared, and then she'd go into the living room and do as Drake had told her. She wouldn't wimp out the very first time their relationship was tested, or at least the first time she disobeyed him. Somehow she thought that would disappoint him far more than the fact that she'd disobeyed him. With 5 minutes to spare, she had everything prepared and on the stove, the sizzling sounds of food cooking and the inviting aroma filling the air. All that was left were the steaks, and she wouldn't put those on until they were ready to eat. Knowing she now had less than 5 minutes until Drake arrived, she fled to the living room, ignoring the twinges of pain in her knee. If she hadn't spent all afternoon napping on the couch and had been moving around, her knee wouldn't even hurt. But after so many hours of inactivity, of course it was going to protest the sudden movements. She hastily undressed and then carefully folded her clothing and put it on the coffee table. She didn't want it to appear as though she'd rushed through the process, even if that was precisely what she'd done. She slid her shoes underneath the coffee table, and then laid her bra and panties on top of her torn jeans and shirt. When she was naked, she walked to the end of the couch and leaned into it, running her hands over the leather arm, and then leaned forward, testing how comfortable she would be when he asked her to bend over. Okay. That wasn't so bad. She straightened and dutifully took her position exactly as he'd described, and then closed her eyes, knowing the next few minutes until he arrived would seem like an eternity. Drake waited impatiently for the elevator doors to open and immediately stepped off, not even taking the time to hang his coat over the coat rack. He slipped it off on his way to the living room and tossed it aside. His breath caught in his throat when he saw Evangeline standing just as he'd instructed her at the end of the couch, her bare skin glowing in the low light. Only a lamp was on in the far corner, lending an intimate air to the room. He walked up behind her, unable to resist such beautiful temptation. He brushed her hair over one shoulder and pressed his lips to the curve of her neck. She shivered beneath his touch, and tiny chill bumps danced across her skin.
So responsive, he murmured. So fucking beautiful. He heard her soft sigh, as beautiful as she was. Stay right where you are, he commanded. Then he left the room to get the crop from the bedroom. This would be her first experience with anything other than his hand and the few smacks he'd administered to her ass, and therefore he wouldn't graduate to something harsher. Not until he was certain she was ready and with him all the way. When he returned, she was still standing there, as still as a statue, her pale skin glowing in unearthly light. She was a goddess, and she was all his. He trailed the end of the crop down her spine, eliciting another shiver from her. He continued his gentle exploration, letting her become accustomed to the feel of the leather before he marked her gorgeous ass. He moved to the side of her so he could see her face, her expression. I'm going to administer 6 lashes, he said in an even voice. Just to remind you in the future that you are not to disobey me. But fair warning, Angel, if it happens again,
I won't be as merciful. She shifted her weight, an almost imperceptible movement, but he was tuned into her completely and missed nothing. He was about to administer the first blow, still to the side of her, because he wanted to watch her reaction. The moment when the initial pain faded into pleasure. He wanted to watch her eyes go hazy at the pleasure he gave her. But a sudden flash of pain and obvious distress briefly chased through her eyes before it was gone, leaving him to wonder if he'd imagined it. But no. He'd clearly seen it. He frowned, because he hadn't done more than stroke her skin with the flogger. He let his hand fall to his side as he continued to stare piercingly at her. "What's wrong?" he demanded. "Evangeline, look at me." Slowly she turned her head so that she faced him fully, and he was no longer just seeing her in profile. Her eyes glittered with unshed tears, and it gutted him.
"Nothing is wrong, Drake. I won't disobey you again," she said quietly. "I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was being a petulant little child, and I was a bitch. You didn't deserve that from me."
And then her weight shifted again, and he saw that she moved most of her weight to one leg, instead of having both feet planted solidly on the floor. She winced, pain once more flashing in her eyes, before she visibly got herself under control and turned to face ahead. She leaned forward to plant her hands on the couch, as he'd instructed her earlier. But all Drake could see, remember, was the pain in her eyes. Pain that he had in no way caused. His gaze dropped down her body, searching for any discernible source of discomfort. Then his eyes narrowed when he saw what the couch had effectively hidden from his view. A bandage on her knee. He went immediately to his knees, turning her to the side so she faced him, and he could now plainly see the dressing over her knee. "What the fuck?" he murmured, purposely pitching his voice low so that his emphatic words held no bite or anger directed at her. He stood rapidly and then picked her up, cradling her against his chest, and then walked around to the front of the couch and carefully laid her down. Then he gently lifted her legs, wanting to cause her no further pain, and draped them across his lap so he could get a closer look at her knee. "What happened?" he demanded. She sighed.
"It's nothing, Drake. I promise. It was stupid of me, and I was clumsy. Xander and I went out to buy groceries, and then he insisted I needed a pair of sunglasses, and so he stopped in a boutique and bought two pairs of hideously expensive sunglasses."
She shuddered and closed her eyes, and he realized she was more upset over the cost of the sunglasses than she was over the injury to her knee.
"When we walked out, I tripped. I'm not even sure what exactly happened, except one minute I was standing, and the next I was face down on the sidewalk, and Xander was freaking out. He wanted to call you immediately, but I begged him not to. So he called Justice to come get us. Only Justice and Silas arrived, and then Silas insisted he bring me to your doctor."
Drake's eyes narrowed as he absorbed her account. "And why didn't you think it important to call me?"
"You were busy," she whispered, distress radiating from her voice. "Your notes said you would be busy and that you would be wrapped up in important meetings all day and that you'd be late for dinner. It was nothing worth disturbing you over. Your doctor stitched it up in just a few minutes and gave me medicine to numb the wound."
"He had to stitch you?" he asked, behind tightly clenched teeth. Her eyes grew larger with fear and nervousness, but he was too determined to get to the bottom of this whole mess before allaying her fears that he was angry with her. Jesus. He should have been the one with her, the whole goddamn time.
Only a few, she said defensively. I don't know why he even bothered. I've suffered far worse before, and slapping a bandage over it worked just fine.
That may have been okay before, he said, trying to get a grip on his emotions. Before you belonged to me, that is. But it is not okay now. You belong to me now, and I will always ensure you are cared for above all others. Your comfort and safety are second to none other. You should not have had to go to the clinic with only a strange man to comfort you. I should have been there to hold you and to carry you up to our apartment after and ensure your absolute comfort. That's my job, Angel. He pinned her with an intense stare. Now tell me, what's your job?
She looked confused, and her brow creased in obvious puzzlement. I don't understand what you're asking, she said helplessly. I'm not being deliberately obtuse, Drake. I'm just confused by your question.
My job is to always take care of you, to provide for you, to ensure your safety when I cannot be near, and most especially to ensure that you are comfortable above all else. You have only one job, my angel. Obey. Evangeline stared in wonder at Drake as a myriad of conflicting emotions assailed her over this matter-of-fact stating of the facts, the truth as he saw them. She felt slight irritation, but mostly she felt profound relief, as though a great burden had shifted and had been lifted from her shoulders. Could it really be as easy as he made it appear? That this man, this beautiful, dominant man, would cherish her, pamper her, spoil her, protect her, take care of her, and in return, all she had to do was to obey? It was almost more than she could fathom. Like she was in a never-ending fantasy, and if she opened her eyes, it would all be gone in the blink of an eye, and so she held tightly to the dream, squeezing her eyes tighter shut to keep reality at bay. Then he leaned down and very carefully peeled away the bandage, and after a moment's inspection, he reverently pressed his lips to the wound. She was astonished that in one moment he was all raw power, bristling alpha male, about to discipline his submissive, and in the next second he was so exquisitely loving and tender that it brought an altogether different kind of sting to her eyes. From now on, if anything, and I mean anything, should happen to you, I want to know about it immediately. I don't care how insignificant you think it is. I expect to know about it the minute it happens. Understand? She swallowed, and then somehow managed to verbalize her consent around the knot in her throat. Then, to her further shock, he gently slid her body further over his lap until he cradled her against his chest. He pressed his lips firmly to her brow, and then stood, lifting her higher into his arms. He carried her into the kitchen, and then eased her down on the island with the rest of the kitchen surrounding her. Tonight, I cook for my injured princess, he said, a gleam in his eyes. Appalled, she immediately launched her protest. In no way do a few stitches keep me from cooking dinner. Besides, everything is nearly done except for the steaks, and they'll only need a few minutes to grill on each side. He tweaked her nose affectionately, and then followed it by kissing her long and leisurely on the lips. Then I won't have much left to do, will I? You will sit right where you are and direct me from on high. You tell me what to do and how, and I'll have supper served in no time. Evangeline watched in fascination as he tended to the meal, pausing from time to time to ask her if he was doing it right. And as she was watching him, and as she replayed the events prior when he'd forgotten all about her punishment, and had instantly made certain she was all right and taken care of, she had an epiphany of sorts. Drake,
enjoyed taking care of her. In fact, he seemed to delight in it. She mattered to him, and he took what he called his job very seriously. She wondered if he had never had anyone who truly cared about him, and if that was why he seemed so determined to give her something that maybe he himself had lacked. It only made her all the more determined not only to accept him unconditionally, but also to do everything in her power to take care of and protect him. Maybe no one in his past had ever ensured that he was happy and cared for, but she'd be damned if she was going to be like those people. Drake would know without a doubt that there was at least one person who cared deeply enough about him to always ensure his happiness and comfort. And if she could do all those things by simply pleasing him and following his rules, then she would do so with no hesitation, no more questioning herself. "Drake," she said hesitantly. He turned, as if sensing the seriousness in her tone. "I am sorry," she said softly. "For today, earlier, I was a bitch, and as I said, you didn't deserve that from me. I'm ashamed of the way I acted, and I did so without thought, and that hurt you. I feel terrible about it. Can you forgive me? I will try very hard never to give you any cause to be unhappy with me again. I want to please you. It's important to me. More important than you even know." His expression relaxed, and he walked over after flipping the stakes and wrapped his arms around her.
"You are not a bitch, Angel. Far from it. And I think we should both just agree to forget all about today and move on. But baby, I want a promise from you. You are never to let me punish you or even put you in a situation where you are hurting or feel any discomfort. You should have told me the minute your accident happened, and if not then, you most assuredly should have told me before I put a crop to your ass. Thank God I figured it out before I doled out your punishment, because I would have never forgiven myself for causing you unnecessary pain." There was genuine self-derision in his tone and remorse. Her heart softened to the point of melting, because he seemed so horrified that he could have caused her further pain. "And I can't tell you how much it means to me for you to so sweetly and genuinely tell me that you care, that you want to please me, and that it's important to you." "I've never had that," he admitted, looking immediately chagrined that he'd imparted something he considered deeply personal. But it only reinforced what she'd already figured out. "I want you to know that pleasing you is every bit as important to me as pleasing me is important to you. I want you to be happy. I want you to shine. For me. Only, always, for me." She relaxed and kissed him, and then drew away, a teasing grin on her face.
"So no punishment for me tonight, then?" she asked lightly.
He returned to the stove and picked up one corner of a steak, holding it up for her inspection.
"Just a minute or two longer," she advised.
Then he regarded her somberly.
"No, Angel. I think it's safe to say you've already had a little too much excitement for one day. I have never considered myself a patient man, but I'm finding lately that when the reward is great, I'm willing to temper myself. Just know that now that you better understand the parameters and limits I've set for you, I won't be as forgiving in the future, and disobedience will be punished. But I will never take it too far, and I would cut off my right arm before ever intentionally hurting you."
Her body went all tingly as a mixture of disappointment and curiosity curled in her stomach. She realized in that moment that she didn't fear Drake hurting her. Physically. He was too disciplined and restrained in all things. The physical part of her fantasized about what his punishment would feel like, and if she'd revel in the burn as she had the night he'd spanked her those few times with his hand. The emotional part of her couldn't bear to ever disappoint Drake again in such a way as to warrant punishment. His approval, she realized, meant a great deal.
"What if I wanted you to use the crop on me?"
she asked huskily, before she could temper her words.
"Not in punishment. Is that something that would please you, Drake? Because I fantasize about it, and I think..."
"What do you think, Angel?"
"That it would please me very much," she admitted.
He was taking the steaks from the grill and putting them on a platter and went completely still when her admission hit him. Then he turned the burners off the other skillets and slowly turned, fire brewing in his eyes.
"Maybe if I wasn't standing,"
she plunged ahead before she lost her nerve.
"A man of your expertise surely has a thousand ways of flogging a woman without me having to put any weight on my knee."
"What I think," he said slowly, "is that first we should eat, and then afterward we can have this discussion, preferably with you in my bed, tied up and powerless to do anything but accept the pleasure I give you."
She gulped. She was supposed to eat now, and actually remember what anything tasted like? He served portions of the food onto two plates, and then put them on the table. Then he returned and carefully lifted her down from the island, and carried her over to the table, but instead of depositing her into her own chair, he settled down with her in his lap. She realized that once again, he was going to feed her, but this time, there was no hesitation on her part. She'd enjoyed it the first time he had fed her by his own hand. Intimacy had cloaked them, pulling them further and further into a hazy fog of passion and arousal. As he began to feed her, and himself, he complimented her on yet another excellent meal.
"But you cooked, not me,"
Evangeline protested.
"I hardly call slapping two steaks on a grill and then turning them at the minute marker you set while simply turning on the heat under the other skillets to rewarm the food you'd already prepared, cooking the meal," he said dryly. "It was delicious, and I appreciate the effort you underwent to make it special for me. That means a lot to me, Angel. I only regret that you hurt yourself in the process."
"A skinned knee was worth pleasing you," she whispered. "I do want to please you, Drake. It's a need within me I can't even explain to myself. You give me so much. You make me feel beautiful and wanted. I want so much to give you back, even a part of what you give so selflessly to me."
He kissed her, hugging her closer to his body.
"You do please me, Angel. Never doubt that. Now, what do you say we continue this conversation in the bedroom, where I can properly tend to my angel and give her what she wants and needs from her man?"
"I'd say that's the best idea I've heard all day,"
she whispered against his lips. 23. Drake carried Evangeline to the bedroom and reverently laid her down on the bed. Then he simply stood over her, his gaze raking up and down her naked body, clear appreciation in his eyes. For once, she felt no shyness or self-consciousness. She felt bold, like a seductress with a lot more experience than she actually possessed. She didn't want to be a passive participant in whatever Drake chose for tonight, but at the same time, The idea that he would make all the decisions and have all the control gave her an indescribable thrill. He frowned when his gaze settled over her knee, and he seemed to be thinking. "How much does it hurt?" he asked. "And don't sugarcoat it. I'll do nothing that causes you further pain tonight."
"It actually feels much better now," she said truthfully. "I fell asleep on the couch because Silas wouldn't leave until I was resting on the couch, and I fully intended to get up as soon as he left so I could get a start on dinner, but I fell asleep and didn't wake up until you called. And since I was immobile for such a long time, my knee was stiff and tender for a while after I started moving around, but it's loosened up and isn't nearly as tender."
His lips tightened. "And if you had called me, I would have ensured you did precisely what Silas told you to do. Only you would have been in my arms, me holding you, while you rested." The image was so tantalizing that in that moment she wished she had allowed Xander to call Drake.
"I wish I had called you now," she whispered.
He leaned down and brushed a gentle kiss over her knee, and then looked up so their gazes locked. "In the future, make sure you do."
"I will," she promised.
A gleam of a different kind entered his eyes, the one of a predator, full of heat and anticipation that had her breathless and edgy with indescribable need.
"You could make me feel all better now,"
she said in a husky voice that was filled with invitation. "Oh yes, my angel. I intend to do just that. But first, I'm going to crop that sweet ass so that it bears my marks when I fuck you." She couldn't control the shudder or the soft moan that escaped her lips. His expression became more serious. "But I will not do anything that will cause further pain to your knee."
"I know, Drake," she said, an ache in her heart. "I know you'd never hurt me. I want this. I want you and everything you have to give me. I'll cherish it always."
His entire face softened, and a warm glow burned in his dark eyes. "So sweet and generous," he murmured. "What did I ever do to deserve such an angel?" He walked away from the bed, and she felt the loss of his warmth, the touch of his gaze, and the hands that had reverently caressed her body. He returned a moment later with rope and the crop, and her pulse ratcheted up, her breaths puffing erratically from her lips. "My angel is excited," he said, approval flaring in his eyes.
"Oh, yes," she said. "I want it all, Drake. I want you."
He turned her, mindful of her knee, and drew both of her hands behind her to rest at the small of her back. And then he carefully wound the rope around them, testing to ensure that it wasn't cutting into her skin. He left her once more, only long enough to strip out of his clothing, and then he returned, lifting her from where she lay on the bed. He settled on the edge of the bed, and then turned her face down so that her belly rested over his lap, and her legs dangled over the side of his leg. His hands roamed over her back, her shoulders, her ass, and then lower down the length of each leg, each touch sending her up in flames. He administered a light smack to one cheek with his hand, and she immediately gasped. Then he petted the area, smoothing away the hurt as the warm burn of pleasure rapidly took over. Then, as he'd done earlier in the living room, he stroked her back and ass with the tip of the flogger, and before she could brace herself, he popped the crop down over the opposite cheek. Fire singed over her skin, but as with the smacks with his hand, the pain disappeared, quickly replaced with the warm hum of decadent, forbidden pleasure.
How many do you want, Angel? How many can you take?
As many as you want to give me, she said breathlessly. I'm yours, Drake. Only yours. I belong to you, and am yours to do with as you wish.
She could tell her response pleased him by the warmth and gentleness of his caress, as he rubbed his hand over the area he'd just struck and the sound of approval he made.
You were made for me, he said, satisfaction in his voice. And yes, my darling angel, you do belong to me, and you are mine to do with as I please.
He popped her other cheek, causing her to flinch and then moan as euphoria enveloped her like a cloud. Her knee in the events of the day faded to obscurity, forgotten, as he began to administer her spanking, each lash harder, stronger than the last. He was careful not to overwhelm her, instead gradually working her up, from lighter to harder, and as the pain increased, so did the indescribable pleasure.
So fucking beautiful, Drake said gruffly as he rubbed his hand over her throbbing flesh. Your ass is so red with my mark, my stamp of possession. Tell me, Angel, do you want more? Or do you want me to fuck your sweet ass? Or maybe you'd prefer I ride the pussy that also belongs to me?
She groaned, nearly insensible, so deep into the thick fog surrounding her.
I want it all, she whispered. All you have, everything you can give me, Drake. Please, I need you so much.
The words had barely escaped her lips before he straddled her hips, pushing her ass upward, spreading her with his thumbs, and then plunged hard and deep into her pussy. She nearly orgasmed on the spot. She closed her eyes, squeezing hard around him, trying to hold off her release as he began riding her hard. He was almost brutal in his possession, not pausing between thrusts. He pumped into her over and over, his hips smacking hard against her ass, all the while caressing the burning flesh of her behind that she knew bore the marks of the crop.
Drake, she cried desperately. I'm too close. I'm going to come.
He withdrew, causing her to moan at the abrupt departure of his enormous erection through her swollen and ultra-sensitive flesh. The edge of pain mixed with pleasure was a heady sensation, and she closed her eyes, biting into her bottom lip to stave off her release. Then she jumped when the crop slapped her ass, fast and furious, peppering over every inch of her aching behind. Not pausing in the flogging, he murmured in a husky voice,
I'm going to untie your hands so you can touch yourself while I fuck your ass. But do not get up on your knees or put any weight whatsoever on your stitches. Understand?
Yes,
she said with an edge of desperation. The flogging stopped, and he hastily untied her wrists and gently rubbed them to rid them of any residual numbness. And then he took her left hand and slipped it between her and the mattress until her fingers slid over her swollen clit. There was a squirting sound as Drake squeezed lubricant from the tube, and then his thumbs parted the cheeks of her ass. Knowing what was soon to come, she began stroking herself, and not a moment too soon, as he thrust into her with every bit as much force as he'd entered her pussy. She began shaking, her fingers slipping, glancing over the sensitive nub as Drake drove her higher and higher and ever closer to ultimate release. Just when she thought she would topple over the edge, he withdrew, leaving her precariously close to orgasm, and she groaned in frustration. He chuckled, and the fire ignited over her ass as the crop descended, taking her breath away. Her chest heaved, and she inhaled sharply as the pain faded, giving in to euphoria. She closed her eyes as more blows rained down on her buttocks, and she entered a hazy world that blurred around her, where only bliss existed.
His hands roughly parted her cheeks, and he plunged inward again, but she was too languid to continue touching herself, too lethargic to register the need to do so.
"Touch yourself, babe," Drake commanded. "I want you with me, and I'm about to come all over your rosy ass."
She stroked lazily, her earlier urgency dissipating. As if sensing her state of subspace, he forewent the roughness of his thrusts, and instead stroked long and slow, setting a leisurely pace. Where before her orgasm had demanded its due, this time she climbed slowly up the peak, and when Drake's fingers dug more sharply into her hips, and he swelled even larger inside her, she applied more pressure, determined that they go together. Always together. Her orgasm flooded her, the sweetest, slowest spasm that encompassed her entire body, setting each nerve ending on fire. She tingled from head to toe, delicious chill bumps spreading over her skin, making her hypersensitive to his every touch. And when he leaned down and pressed his lips to her spine and licked his way up to her nape, the world tilted around her, blurring in the most exquisite bliss